There he is, the man, the myth, the legend. And as we come away here, I can't see the screen. The contact's a little blurry. All right, Jack. So we talk about goalies a lot. Fedotov Versin. So we still have a lot of topics to touch on still, if I could just see them. So obviously we talked about Fedotov, we talked about Ersan, we talked about Farabee, which you were on for. I wanted to touch a little bit more on exit interviews, and hang on, I'll check out of my good eye real quick. Oh, I wanted to touch on what Torts and Briere talked about more than anything. You know, obviously we can touch on Lawton, Konechny's in exit interviews and whatnot, but what I really wanted to talk about tonight was Tortorella's exit interview. He mentioned things that they needed to improve on, Jack, which I don't know. When you hear Torts say, "Oh, we really need to improve our power play, our four on four and our 3-on-3. What thoughts went through your mind when you heard him basically admit, you know, hey, we didn't really focus on these areas as much as we should have, you know?
What's funny is he didn't outright come out and say anything about like the overtime stuff, a lot of the stuff that he was directly getting blamed for. Did you hear the part where he was like, I made some mistakes, nothing that you gave me a hard time about, you know, but the stuff that you don't see.
Yeah,
that sounds bad. I do believe him though. I do believe him. But for me, a lot of the X's and O's stuff, it's going to sound bad. It's not the biggest priority. It should be a little bit when you consider the team is growing, you know, the way things were growing. And you heard him, Jason brought it up. He said, you know, some guys just don't get it. Probably be referring to Farabee. I think it's more of that this year than anything. I guess I was happy to see him take, I don't really care about a coach or a GM really taking too much accountability. I care about the players on the ice, the team, the players, the ones scoring the goals. So I guess it was a good thing that he, for some people anyway, but they'll just say that they didn't like the way he did it, you know, taking some blame, because obviously when you collapse like this, everybody's to blame. You can't blame one thing only. That's just stupid. So, it's about what I expected from him. I don't think he was too combative. I do know that he was talking to somebody and was like, "You write about this. You always drill this home and it's not true." And oh, the Coots conversation. Did they have a conversation before he was benched? And before he was healthy scratched. And they went through all that and how he's on the board and how, of course, they had a conversation beforehand. I love that he brought up. I was like, "I want you to come into my office and say something," which is what happened with Frost. You know, we know that that situation happened. Now he's outright admitting, "This is what I want you players to do. Have some balls and step up and come talk to me." You know, so I did like those aspects. As far as him taking critique or anything like that, it's Torts. I knew we weren't going to get too much of that. I don't remember the entire, it was like 30 minutes. Like Farabee's interview was like 8 minutes. And if you take out the word, you know, it was probably like 3 minutes. But like, you know, Torch was up there for a while. So like, if I've missed anything, please fill me back in.
Well, I just took away some quotes here and a few are, you know, he said the season falls on his shoulders. You can't play the same style all the time. This was in regards to the game changing the last quarter of the season. And really, their playing style changed a lot when they traded Sean Walker. They weren't as good on the PK, and they weren't as good in transition. They started to play York and Sanheim, you know, 25-plus minutes a night, and things changed for them. Let me just read off a couple more here real quick. Torts said something in reference to him coming back next season. He said, "I'm as energized as I've ever been. I love working here. I'm already thinking about next year. I'm totally in until Danny says, get the hell out," which, yeah, you know, I was glad he said, you know, to provide some clarity there because, you know, the rumors were swirling. And even I was wondering, you know, you see Berube up in the the press row, you know, supposedly scouting for the Blues. And, you know, it just put some questions to bed, things that we don't really need to necessarily focus on, you know. He also admitted, you know, what they did at the deadline was right. They're a ways away. He says, we have so much to do with this team. There are holes, and also agree. Yeah.
You really emphasize that like this team is not complete by any stretch of the imagination. We have a lot to work on. Mm-hmm. And he's right. He's 100% right. I think people see just how good they were in the standings and just assume it's like almost all systems go time. And that is not the case at all. You saw what happened down the stretch, and that's why you don't put it all on Torts. It was a combination of things. Team just needs more, and they need more of a lot of things. Talent, you know, culture. I know people love that word. Things of that, but this is all stuff he touched on essentially. And the certain guys that don't get it, it's pretty telling. It's why my one question to Jason was like, you know, just come right out and say it already. Like they're gonna trade him, because I don't know if they're really gonna trade him, but it checks a lot of boxes. And it's not just the GM, his coach and GM. I think they're pretty much in unison on a few things. I think another reason why Tortorella is here was to identify certain players that weren't gonna be about the feud. Weren't going to be anything towards the future. And I'm not saying that it's definite for Farabee, but you got to trade something you like, or a talent to get, got to give to get. Maybe you have to, you know, cut bait early. You know, you're looking at what you have. You have to make a decision now. This is the information you have now, you know, to fill another need where you have an abundance of. I think this is part of the reason why he's doing what he's doing. And he was hired and whatnot. And some of that came out in the press. He didn't say his name. We're just making, you know, assumptions, but this is why I think he said what he said.
For sure. I thought he was pretty upfront and honest with most of what he was saying, especially this part here. And this is the part where, you know, we can get into some discussion a little bit. So Tortorella said, I think we need to have a discussion on our power play. I got a GM in Briere that was one of the best power play guys in the game. So we're going to have a discussion. I think I made a mistake not practicing our 3v3 and 4v4 enough. Tortorella also went on to say, I think we can fix the power play with the staff as is right now. He mentioned having discussions with guys like Briere, Patrick Sharp, and Danny Heatley. And so this can open up a discussion about the team's power play. And, you know, obviously right now Rocky Thompson is in charge of the team's power play. And during the interview, he mentioned that Thompson is not going anywhere. He's going to be and I think Briere also echoed this as well, that they're not looking to make a change there. Rocky Thompson's going to be the guy. It sounds like it's going to be a collaborative thing over the summer. And let me just say this. So maybe Rocky Thompson's not the right guy, right? But you talk to people like Bill Meltzer, and I should have asked Martinez, Jason, while we had him on. They'll tell you that Rocky Thompson's actually a joy to listen to and talk hockey with, especially, you know, power play. This is a guy that knows what he's talking about. He played in the NHL. So he's going to know more about an NHL power play than you or I. Do you know what I mean? So like the people out there talking like they can run a power play better than Rocky Thompson kind of makes me laugh. Not saying that he's good, because, you know, we shouldn't be able to do that. But, you know, admitting, okay, we need help there is the first step, right? And they have resources in the organization to use, right? So him admitting that to me was okay. It's like, okay, you have Danny Heatley on the payroll. Power play guy. Danny Briere is the friggin' GM. Let's get his input. And who was the third one? Patrick Sharp, you know, played with guys like Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, Duncan Keith. Like, he's been on good teams with good power plays. You'd be a fool, you know, after finishing last for the third year in a row, not to go to those guys and say, hey, we're running out of ideas here. You know, what can you do? You know, because firing Thompson's the easy route, right? And let's say, he's not it. Let's bring in somebody else, you know? So I wasn't angry when I heard those things. Some people, I think, got a little annoyed. But I was like, all right, you know, this guy is going to keep his job, and they're looking to players within the organization that have had power play success during their careers. Did that rub you the wrong way at all, Jack?
Rocky Thompson. So I get what's being said about Rocky Thompson. I guess the first thing I thought when I heard about this collaboration with all these other power play guys, weren't they all here all year? It's not like we just brought them in. So does that give you, and I understand what you're saying about a guy who can, who really knows the game, and personnel is definitely an issue. But like, they were really, really bad. He got nothing out of them. So my first question is, well, if you're going to use this year and offseason to advise all these guys, which of these guys weren't here last offseason? You know what I mean? I know they might have been newer hires.
Like, why did it take a third year in a row to go to these guys?
Why are we bringing in guys we already have on the payroll this season when the entire season's power play was a joke? Like it, to me, they probably did a little bit, I guess. But to me, that's not a sufficient enough answer for what we're going to do differently going into next year when you were this bad. Because what's new? It's not as bad, but it's reminiscent of when Lapierre and Hexall had their power play. And then, penalty kill. And it was horrible. It got worse every year, so it was like the bottom. And then at the end of 1 year, they got Matt Reed back, and it improved. Only the penalty kill improved a little bit. And then Matt Reed retired. And they're like, what are you going to do? Well, we liked what we saw at the end of the year. Didn't say Matt Reed or anything. We think we got things figured out or whatever. Everybody kept their jobs or positions, went into the next year. And guess what? Penalty kill was dead last. So it's like, I'm sitting here like, well, they were already here. Like, you didn't add or change anything. And you want me to believe that you weren't already talking to them? And is advice what we're going with? Better advice? Like, I just, to me, you want to let a guy really give him his shot. I understand that. And let's not forget, he was good with the forwards in general. It's not like he's solely the power play coach. He has other, you know, things he does for the team. So you want to give him another shot, be my guest. But Jesus Christ, you got to get something out of him. They, you know, and I don't think advice is going to do it.
Hang on here. Odin might bark. There it is. So it sounded like you were saying it could be a personnel issue.
I think it's one of the issues. Yes. Major one.
Yeah. Like, go ahead, Jack, if you want to elaborate there while I mute myself.
Mishkov isn't here yet. We don't have anybody who stands at the top of the circle and waits for a pass and absolutely rips it. I get that. But to be as bad as they were, you got to show me that you have the mindset to be the power play coach, that you're really this guy who's just thinking on the next level. And until you get something out of nothing, because you should be able to get something out of this group. You should be able to get something. Like, come on. Let's not give him a complete pass here. You should have gotten more than you did out of this team. For Christ's sake, look at some of the offensive defensemen you had. I understand there were issues here and there, but like the penalty kill was outscoring the power play at one point. So I get it. He's a really smart guy. You shouldn't a prerequisite of being a good power play coach shouldn't be, well, I need superstars. You should be able to get something out of what you have to give me confidence that when you do get to superstars, you can be a top power play. And none of us, we have not seen that from Rocky Thompson at all. So I understand, I'm not going to freak out about it, but I understand people being upset about it.
Yeah, I mean, I understand. I mean, even now, I would agree that, hey, why is Rocky Thompson in charge of the power play? Like, that's a critical unit. This is going to sound like I'm defending Rocky Thompson, but all it is me saying, you know, you can hand a guy a bunch of parts and say, you know, go make them fit. But at the end of the day, like you need certain parts, right? And this is not me saying they need the most talented players, you know, in the league to make the power play work. Like if you have a power play filled with, you know, perimeter shooters, or I'm thinking of guys like Tippett, Forster, and you know, you can whoever else, like they don't have an bottom, like, this is, it's really simple for me. Like, I could explain and try to elaborate and articulate, yada, yada. It's really simple, honestly. They don't have a net front guy. And that is vital to a power play success. For me, it's really that simple. They don't have a net front guy. And when you have a net front guy, you have a player now taking the eyes of the goalie away, distracting him, whatever. That's one way he can impact your power play. You know, he'll and instead of, if you don't have a net front guy, the 2D, they only have to worry about perimeter because there's nobody in the goalie's sight that they have to worry about or push out of the way, whatever it is. You know what I mean? It's 5-on-4. So if you have a guy playing in front of the goalie doing his job, the defense have to take him into account, right? So now you have two guys worried about one. You have the goalie worried about him, and you have four other guys that can now do what they want here. He also has the ability to tip pucks, clean up trash in front of goal. You know, they didn't have that guy all season long. And when you don't have that, just not having that alone makes your power play that much easier to defend, right? Because now if one guy has the puck, all you got to do is defend the other four. If, as long as the goalie can see that puck come into goal, clearly he's going to stop it, right? These are NHL guys. You're not going to beat them clean. If they can see it, they're going to stop it. Bottom line, right? So that's one way their power play is fucked. The second part is, you know, they do have Jamie Drysdale now, but didn't really play the power play for the Flyers. Most of the season wasn't fully healthy too. They didn't have a guy that could get a puck to the net. And I know we were just talking about Cam York and all the positives. That's great. Him or Sanheim can't get pucks to goal. It's pretty simple for me. You know, we mentioned it in the summer. You know, I think we were projecting points and I was a little bit lower on York, and it was because, well, he scored 10 goals this year, believe that. But on the power play, like, you need to create lanes, and Jamie Drysdale is a guy that can create shooting lanes by himself, which is a pretty amazing skill to have. I'm not sure York has that in his bag. And number two, once you see the lanes, you need to have a shot hard enough to get it to the goal, or at least get it to the guy that's screening the goalie. You know, if you don't have a hard shot, it's getting blocked. It's really simple. And so if you don't have a guy that can play net front and you don't have a guy that's a threat to get pucks to the goal, you know, he's passing, right? And, oh, we have Tyson Forster, who's got a bomb shot, or we got Owen Tippett, that's got a bomb shot. Jack, let me ask you, who do you think the defense is going to defend? They're going to block the one point of offense that you have on the power play. It's shit parts. It's not that they don't have talent on the power play. It's that they don't have the correct pieces. You know what I mean? And at least in our group chat, I think when I say that, it gets taken out of context that, oh, you know, the San Jose Sharks have a 20% power play. Okay, well, do they have the right parts on the power play? I haven't watched the San Jose Sharks power play, but you don't need the most talented guys. You're playing 5-on-4. If you have that's a valid
point. And even the guys that we do have, the Tippetts, the TKs, you know, like, they should have enough to be better than where they were. That's for sure.
But do you hear what I'm saying? Like, the more points of attack that you have on a power play, the harder you are to defend.
No. I know that came off a certain way, but your point about you're up a man. So the guys don't all need to be superstars. You just need to have the right guys in the right roles. There's something to that for sure. I'm not going to try to pick it apart because it's the truth, but then I come back to Rocky Thompson. You want to get crazy. Well, Zamula is like, what, 6'3", you know, throw him down there. Well, you got some guys that are 6'4" or more, but
I mean, they were talking about Ristolainen, and I think at the end of last year, and I don't think that ever came into fruition this year, but that's my thing though. Like,
but when you have these guys that are over 6'6" by a couple of inches, and Morgan Frost is your net front presence, it's kind of like, what do you, I know he didn't do it all the time, But it's like, and I get what you're saying about the parts, but it's like, are we even going to try at this point? Like, it got kind of silly at times.
Yeah. I mean, who knows?
I agree with you. I definitely agree with you, but I can't be like Thompson. That's a full excuse for him because he did some baffling things. And what you're describing with the talent can be a top five, top 10 power play. I mean, they didn't do anything right at all. You know, I mean, you got to draw something up. Certain teams have weaknesses. Draw something up, get something going, and he didn't get anything going for anybody against anybody. And that it is a lot of what you're saying. And I think when it's time for us to like have a power play we can rely upon, that's going to have a lot to do with it. But for like outright just having a guy that knows what he's doing out there too, how much confidence can you have that when the chips are down or he can say somebody's hurt or say something happened and you can't move pieces around and get the best out of who you have when you're up a man? Like there's something to that too. Like I totally agree with you, but I can't give Thompson too much of a pass there. It was just too much.
No, and I agree. It's not, I mean, you finished dead last in the NHL power play, not 1 year in a row. It's 2 years now for Thompson. The Flyers have been dead last for 3 years now. Colin Newby, our buddy, put out a tweet, and the Flyers are the only team in the NHL to finish 32nd in the league in power play. And that's because when the Kraken came in, the Flyers have been dead last every year. So no other team in the NHL has finished 32nd in the league.
What a stat.
But so, my thing would be, okay, if we're keeping this guy, if we're keeping Rocky Thompson, you have to give him something to change. Cause if you're just going to give him the same guys and say, you know, with another year, under their belts, and this is what Briere said, you know, I think Forster, Farabee, who else, Tippett, you know, they all got a year of power play time under their belts. Frost, you know, they should be better next year. Well, they'll probably improve.
Theoretically, yes, players, they should.
But in my opinion, the issue still remains the same. And for me, it's like I would have put Forster as my net front guy. Right. And the first thing everyone's going to think of, and I'm sure everybody that's watching now is going to go, well, you know, you just lost his shot. He's the trigger guy. How many one-timers did you see Forster take on the power play this year?
Well, because like everything you were saying, they're attacking our strengths because we don't only have one or two. So you right. might as well, if you're going to put Frost down there, you might as well try everybody.
Right. And it's like, well, if Forster can't get his shot off because they're already cheating to his side or wherever, you might as well put him net front and just fire pucks, you know.
He should know how to score. You know, I mean, somebody can clean up down there too. It's not like you're taking his ability of scoring away. So try. You got it. Like you said, if he can play the role, play the role. Let him do a shooting 5-on-5 then.
Yeah, I mean, try anything. Put a big body there. Like, I don't know. I don't know, man. Like Simmons was the ideal guy when he played. Yeah. And I don't think I brought this up during the season, but even like Garnet Hathaway could be a net front guy because you need a guy that's going to take some beatings in there. I mean, obviously he's not a goal scorer, so you're losing that aspect. Like ideally you want your net front guy to be a tough guy that's going to, you know, he's going to take cross checks in the back, but he, you know, he's tough enough to stay on his feet and eat up loose pucks and, you know, maybe deflect the goal here and there or score goals with his face, right? As a la Wayne Simmons. But like that's the kind of guy like that if they can find a guy cheap that can, you know, be brought in solely for that, the power play could improve by default, in my opinion. Maybe I'm making it sound too easy, but you know, yeah. A guy like Corey Perry, like just an example. I don't think they bring him in, but he's a little older. He's cheap. Stick him in front of goal on a power play. He knows how to put the puck in the net. You know what I mean? He's going to cause havoc. That's his job. He lives for that these days. You know what I mean?
And causing havoc is definitely his job on and off the ice.
Yeah. I don't know if you want him around the young guys' moms or anything, but you know what I mean. And excuse me real quick. If you change the coach and give him these parts, And I'm saying parts like it's maybe a bad thing. I'm just, you know, using a term there. But if you give a new coach the same guys on the power play, I'm not sure what he can do. Like, what can he do with that? You still can't get pucks to goal from the point. I don't think they have a guy on the roster that can do that, unless you're putting Forster at the blue line, you know. And even then, you know, they're teeing it up for Forster still.
I hope that personnel wise, that if they don't make many changes, that somebody does step up, you know. And I'm not saying they need to be like a league leader, but just be a reason why the power play goes from 32nd to like 24, you know, something like that. That's all. And I don't think that's crazy. So there's definitely some onus on the players here for sure. But I'm not giving the coach any more than just advice, but we'll see. We'll see. I'm hoping that this is a very active offseason. I'm not talking about free agency. I'm talking about the draft, moving up, you know, potentially, or moving picks for players. We discussed players that could be moved. We have an abundance of wingers. We have an abundance of needs. Like, certain situations check a lot of boxes that could bring you that fun guy. You don't know. We'll see. You know, that could maybe some movement in the offseason will make open things up for us. Well, ultimately, we're going to have to wait and see. But where we stand right now, it's hard. I get you. Jim makes some very good points about the personnel and just role players for the power play, not having the right role players for that. But the coach himself, he doesn't inspire a lot of confidence, regardless if you even know what to do with the right players, for reasons that we saw. So, yeah, I mean, it's an interesting conversation to have. We'll see. But either way, nowhere to go but up.
And let's be honest, right? Like, he wasn't brought in to have a top NHL power play. He's an accountability guy, right? Like, he wasn't a talented player. You know, he probably watched a lot of great power plays, and maybe he's got some great ideas, but, you know, he's an accountability guy. I mean, when you think of Rocky Thompson, Jack, the first thing that comes to mind for me is he tried to fight Evander Kane while coaching San Jose's power play. You know what I mean? Like, this was during practice, of course, but, you know, to me, that's like, okay, well, this guy's not going to take any shit, but can he run a power play? And, you know, when you think of what the Flyers needed when they brought him in, obviously they wanted to improve the power play, but he's an accountability guy. So it's, from what I got out of the exit interviews from Tortorella, Briere, I still had the impression that the power play is not going to be a top priority for them. Like, when they're ready to win, the power play will be a real priority. I didn't get this.
Is that why they're holding on to Rocky Thompson? It's like, why go get, they like what he does with the forwards.
Could
and then
be.
Like, why go get somebody now when we're still waiting for the pieces and yada, yada. Right.
Yeah. Why pay somebody a lot of money to come in and run a power play that, you know, we're not ready to add to yet? I mean, Jamie Drysdale is going to help it by himself by default. We'll see that. But yeah, that's the impression that I got. Like, hey, we're not ready to win. We're not going to invest a lot of money in the power play yet. Get these guys going. Then when it's time, you know, maybe we'll make a move. Because if they finish, you know, even if they finish 27, 28, I don't know how you can bring Thompson back again. You know,
that's
pathetic.
It's got to be. You got to do something. So we'll see. I mean, really looking forward to this off season, Jim. I think just got to be at least one big trade. Got to be.
Yeah, I think so. All right. Well, somehow we're an hour and a half here. Why don't we run through some of these other topics here? It was announced, I think, last week, Ristolainen missed the rest of the season due to a torn triceps. And, you know, they waited, I think, the few days after the season ended. And I think what Briere said, they were hoping it would heal enough to where he could come back in the playoffs or something. And Flyers didn't end up making the playoffs, so they went ahead with the surgery. So that's what happened to Risto. Other news, Jake Voracek retired, Jack.
Hooray.
Congrats on the great
Jake. Good for you, buddy.
Yeah. I think he was still on Arizona's.
Yeah, Arizona. Yeah. So I guess now he retires as a Utah Outlaw.
Yeah, I wonder. I wonder if he's...
First player to retire team history.
Yeah. Oh, he got that e-comment in here. keeps calling me Jamie for some reason. Jamie, now that Jason's gone, you said you were going to have some explosive dirt on Bill Cutter Gauthier. What say you? Yeah, I don't know if I'm ready to unleash that yet. That's going to be for a summer episode, probably
August. You
know, maybe after the draft when things kind of, because we got playoffs right now. We got the draft coming. We got free agency. You know, we got a lot of topics. That's for more like when things are a little dead. But yeah, there, I definitely do have some dirt for you guys. Maybe, you know, maybe one day if like I'm in a really good mood and we're having a great show, maybe I'll spill it, you know, but I'm going to
make a big trade.
Keep that one.
You're just feeling happy and just whatever it is. I don't believe it.
There's, I found out some stuff that, you know, because at the time it was really easy to hate Gauthier, and the Flyers did a great job of making sure that you didn't like Gauthier. At the time, you know, even at the time I was like, wow, this is great. Like the organization's all on the same page. A little bit after that, I'm like, you know what? That was actually really weird that all happened that way. Like even Hilferty was kind of spouting off. Like he's the owner, you know, like he's the top dog. Like, I don't know what was that about, you know? Like, was this a whole PR spin? So I always had like that question in the back of my mind, which led me to ask, you know, some people some questions, and I found out some stuff. But not going to spill it tonight, Ted. Keep asking. Maybe one, you know, maybe
you,
maybe I'll do it.
Conspiracy theorist. You flat earther.
Well, I mean, we got the Stanley Cup playoffs to talk about, Jack, and we made our picks. I guess we can announce them on the show, and this way maybe if people want to follow along and put their picks in the comments. I know we're a couple games in now, but yeah, you want to rattle yours off real quick?
I do not have it in front of me, but I'll go off of memory here. I had to pick at least one upset, and like an idiot, I went with Tampa over Florida, and that's not looking good right now.
I did the same thing.
Yeah. Well,
yeah, so like next week. Yeah, Florida's up 2-0 there, so that's not looking great. They're in complete control. Bobrovsky's playing out of his gourd.
Yeah. See that save the other night? Woo-hoo-hoo.
It reminded me of Boucher a little bit with that one.
Yeah, not as intense. I was the Eastern Conference Finals, so, you know. I think I took Boston.
That series is 1-1. They're playing tonight.
I took the Rangers. I took Carolina. Definitely took Carolina. Right. And on the other side, I took Dallas. Took Edmonton.
Nashville, Vancouver.
I took Vancouver, and then I believe I took Winnipeg and the Avalanche. Yeah. So once Hellebuck starts playing like the Vezina Trophy winner he is, I think they're gonna pull that series, because I don't think Georgiev is getting any better.
No, they need.
So here's the thing about that game one, real quick. And people, I was arguing with somebody about the goaltending. He's like, "Oh, it was just as bad." I'm like, Colorado took like. What did he take, like 35 shots or 30 shots or something? Or maybe more, maybe it was a lot more. And I looked, Winnipeg took like 18 shots or something like that. And they scored 7 goals. Yeah. Like, holy shit.
it's not good.
Georgiev's yikes.
He cost me the Dynasty Championship this year, Georgiev. On the last day of the season, Freddie Anderson had a shutout, and you know how crazy they get for shutouts. I think he had like 40 points or something like that.
Probably way more than that.
And Georgiev played the Stars, and I think he let up like 6-7. So instant loss.
Oh, that was your whole matchup right there. And they say goaltending was that important.
I think I might have lost by 40 points, actually, 50 points.
Dude, so goaltending. Kind of funny. Goaltending in that league. Silly.
Yeah, I know. Crazy. Our picks are about the same, Jack. I took Tampa Bay, unfortunately, but it's okay. So we're both going to miss out on that one. It looks like, Boston, Toronto. I took Boston. I took the Rangers. I took Carolina. I took Edmonton. I took Nashville to upset Vancouver. I think Nashville showed enough for me, like towards, you know, didn't they have like an 18 game streak where they didn't lose or they gained a point, something like that?
I think it was gained a point. Yeah. Gained a point. Yeah. They call that like a unbeaten streak or something.
An unbeaten streak. That's what it is. Yeah. So I've been impressed with them. They've been fun. You know, Ryan O'Reilly is a playoff kind of guy. Rick Tocchet had a great season for Vancouver. Are they ready for the playoffs? I don't know. And then, unfortunately, Demko went down. It's going to be tough for Vancouver, I think. But they do have Quinn Hughes, who I think is the top candidate for the Norris Trophy this season. They have a lot of offensive talent over there. We'll see. That I think that could be one of the most fun series, Vancouver-Nashville. And in Colorado-Winnipeg, that's going to be a crazy series too, man. I almost felt dumb picking against Winnipeg because they're a really solid. They're not like Winnipeg of the past, you know, where they make the playoffs and they're one of those teams that get bounced out first round. They have some depth. I think they won that Dubois trade. Connor Hellebuyck, but I just couldn't get myself to pick against Colorado, even with Georgiev's struggles. I just couldn't do it. Makar, McKinnon's had the season of his career. Rantanen, you know, there's so much talent over there. That was a tough one, but I went Colorado just based off of what they've done in the past. And then Dallas, Vegas. I took Dallas. I like them to go to the Stanley Cup out of the West. So
yeah, I think my Stanley Cup is Carolina over Dallas. So
there you go.
I forget some of the in-betweens. I think I got Edmonton going far. But that's what I'm looking at. So we shall see.
Yeah. Yep. We shall. I got Boston going against Dallas. And here's a stat that I kind of kept to myself. I should have probably double checked it, but I think it was the last two President's Cup trophy winning teams that were bounced in the first round, the same season, went on to win the Stanley Cup the very next season. And so I'm picking Boston solely for that reason. So for example, when Tampa lost to Columbus, the year that they had, you know, the best regular season ever, whatever it was, and they, you know, they lost in the first round, they won the Stanley Cup the next year. I think the Bruins, I don't know if their team's as good as last year, but they have the goaltending. They have the structure. I like the coach, Jim Montgomery. They have the, you know, the playoff-tested guys. They're solid down the middle. They have the defense. I think they're going to be a tough out. They're going to be likely playing. If they advance, obviously, they'll be likely playing Florida, who I think beat them in the first round last year. So that'll be a hell of a series. So, yeah, I have Boston-Dallas with – I would like to see Dallas win it over Boston, to tell you the truth, but I just think Ottinger's not the same as he's been in the playoffs of – the last couple of years. He was had like an up and down year, Ottinger. So I don't know. He'll get them there, but I don't know if they're going to take out Boston. I think Boston's got the experience. I mean, Dallas has guys like Ben Pavelski, Duchesne, guys that have never won that you want to win. I just don't think they're going to do it.
That was good. Hey, playoffs are goofy, man. Who the hell knows?
Yeah. So is we're an hour and 42 minutes into an off-season show, Jack. Like, that's crazy.
Jason went over an hour.
Impressive. I was a little shocked. That was impressive, yeah.
It was awesome, too. He was into it. You can tell.
Yeah, he sure was. Did we miss anything? Did you want to bring anything up?
Just going to, you know, one of our followers, our listeners, Jonathan Vegas, just tagged me in something for the power play here. Jim, maybe this will make us feel better. Flyers management and coach is here in Wilkes-Barre tonight for game one of the playoffs. That's the Phantoms, obviously. Tortorella, Rocky Thompson, Daniel Briere, Keith Jones, McCauley, John LeClair, and many more are all there. And hopefully they're talking nothing but power play, nothing but power play. And then they're identifying who they can take off the Phantoms to put as your net front presence right there. So that's hopefully a lot of cooking's going on right now in the kitchen. Thanks. Yeah,
hopefully
thank you.
They're getting some ideas. I was at the game on Sunday, and I was there watching Andre for Dalbert Prospects, and I still love what I see from Andre. I'm sorry. Maybe he's not flashy. Maybe he doesn't stand out to a lot of people, but he does everything right. And even when he's given the opportunity to make the wrong play, still makes the right play. At least he did on Sunday. So still excited for that. Brink, Ginning, Adderd, Lixell all on the lineup tonight.
Alexi Kolosov back. Is he still playing?
He's hurt.
He is hurt. Okay. I wasn't sure. I remember how high we were on him for like a majority of the year. And it's just like, Yeah. Like, did he get hurt and he was out, or did his play dip off? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think he's been out hurt. So I saw him actually up in the press area. He was limping around. I didn't say anything to him, but you know, it's weird seeing the players up there because they're literally kids. And when I saw him, I'm like, who the hell is this guy? And then I heard somebody say, oh, what's up, Samu? I'm like, oh, yeah, it's Tuimala. And he was walking weird. So, you know, maybe he's getting better. Who knows? But I think he's hurt.
Yeah, well, there you go.
So, yeah. All right, boys and girls. Oh, Jonathan Vegas is Vegas. Well, sorry. Did you put that up, Jack?
I did, yes.
Okay.
Now we know.
Now we know. All right, boys and girls. So I think that's going to do it for this week's show. It's a pretty massive show. I almost wonder if I should split it in two, because an hour and 45 minutes of a show is a long time to listen to. So I might break this one up and, you know, we'll put out two shows. We'll see. What's going to happen between now and next week, Jack? Is there anything big coming up? It's just playoffs, right? We'll get some draft stuff going.
We might. I don't know when they're going to announce it, but they might let us know when the draft lottery is. I don't know how big that is this year for us as it was in years past. But I looked and there's no set date, and you know it's going to be in May. We're getting closer and closer to May. You think they're going to at least announce a date soon that the playoffs are finally underway. So we'll see.
That's true. We do have that to look forward to. Yeah, so a lot coming up. I'm going to get a little bit more in depth with the draft prospects. Make sure you guys are checking out Dauber Prospects. The Flyers page on there. I'm updating profiles. I'll be updating more tonight and tomorrow. Make sure you check out hwhockey.net. If you guys are looking for merch, head over to bonfire.com, look up High and Wide, or just DM me and I'll provide a link. What else? Did I leave anything else, Jack? Make sure you guys are subscribed. I also want to know from you guys, if we do a subscription thing, a 99-cent subscription thing for the podcast, would you guys be interested in that? Let me know in the comments. Comment on the YouTube. We'll figure out a way to get you guys premium content. But it's something that we're going to kick around, and whoever's interested is interested. So that's going to do it for this episode, boys and girls. Thanks for everyone who hung out. Thanks to our guest, Jason Martinez. Man, an hour and 46-minute show. You guys are still going strong. Man, you guys are awesome. So
I love it.
We're going to wrap it up. We'll be back next week. We might be switching our shows to Mondays since the Flyers are now off and done for the summer. So we'll let you guys know before we make any changes. We'll talk to you guys next week.